Welcome to the Think Factory podcast. We got one question for you. What keeps you up at night?
Welcome back to the Think Factory podcast, powered by OGC Solutions. And I'm your host today, Chris Santomassimo. Nice to be out of the studio or out of the office and on the road. And I'm excited to introduce Brian Franz, who's our guest today. Brian is a vice president at Envision 3 in Bloomingdale, Illinois, where we're sitting together. So welcome to the podcast.
Thanks, Chris. Yeah, it's fun. Appreciate having a guest here on site, being able to see our facility and how we got to connect. So it's just really a great thing to show people what we do. Hopefully we can do that over the audio waves today.
Absolutely. I hope we can convey the excitement I see on the floor. I mean, you got a lot of activity. In a manufacturing environment, you never like to see an idle floor, and yours is not idle by any means. So
yeah.
It's great to see the activity, which is amazing. But I'd love to have you introduce the company to folks that might not be familiar with it, talking about all the segments that you handle and some of the things you're doing for customers.
Yeah, absolutely. So I work for Envision 3, and it happens to be a family company, so my dad's the owner here. Been around for 25 years. I've been in the business for 12 of those years, and I've done various roles throughout my time being here. I have a background in marketing. I studied marketing in college and business, so I really like that side. And so for me, the sales side really came to life as a part of a passion of mine. I really enjoyed that side of getting to know people, the relationship building, and figuring out how to, you know, grow the company over these years. So I've led various roles and got my own customers. I'm still getting my own new customers as well. But on a whole, Envision 3 does pretty much four things well. And it's print, it's direct mail, it's packaging, and fulfillment. So those are kind of the four main groups there. And between our two locations, that's what we do day in and day out. We continue to get new equipment, new products that we do. We've acquired 7 different companies over that 25-year tenure. And so we just try to figure out ways to meet our customers' needs the best that we can. And I just have fun doing it. I really love being able to do that every day. And no 2 days are the same. I tell a lot of people, it's kind of like making cake. So it's just a matter of what kind of cake we're making today. You got a lot of the same ingredients, but there's a lot of derivatives of that. And so part of my job is when I get to tell clients about what we do and educate and give them solutions to meet their problems is basically where I come in, and I try to give them solutions then. So because anyone can do print. There's a lot of great printers out there. We're in the Chicagoland area. But at the end of the day, what it comes down to is some other things like service. You know, we have some of the highest quality print out there. We're really fast, and we stand by our word, but we really like to make it easy, and I think that's what makes people come back. So I think that's Envision 3 in a nutshell.
Yeah. Well, besides doing great work, what are some of the other things that you do that makes it easy for a customer and to take advantage of the solution?
Yeah, so I think peace of mind is huge. So for what we do for our clients, it's knowing that we're going to get something done when we say we're going to get it done, and knowing that we're not afraid to tell them when something goes wrong. Luckily, that doesn't happen often, but if it does happen, we are able to adjust, adapt, and our team, because of how agile we are, we can send other labor to do something and finish it on time if I have issues because of other problems upstream of that issue. So I think that's really what makes it, and our customer service team is great. They handle so much that comes through here. Of the 3,000 jobs a year we get, they're on the front lines handling customer requests, and also very quickly too. So a lot of things, the phone, it's kind of funny in this day and age, the phones don't really ring as much anymore, mm-hmm. but the emails go crazy. So they're typing away very fast all the time, and that's just kind of how the business has evolved, and I know AI is going to continue to play a part in that, which would be crazy, but our big thing is you actually get a human and someone will care and talk with you. You don't have to wait through a long auto dialer or anything like that. So those are some of the ways that we're finding innovation through just good quality principles that have been around for a long period of time.
Well, so being cutting edge in terms of quality and technology, but being traditional in terms of having humans that are going to help you resolve issues.
Yeah.
Maybe that's part of the formula for success, right?
I think it is. And that's why I'm not worried about AI. I think it's going to complement areas that it needs to complement, but it's not going to replace areas that don't need to be replaced. Because there is some fears of AI replacing salespeople and doing their job. And I just really don't think that that's true. I can't really think of a time where I've ordered something from a robot and enjoyed it, especially when it comes to my brand or my marketing strategy. You know, it's fine if I'm ordering a cheeseburger at McDonald's, fine. But if I'm getting something that somebody's custom making for me, I don't really want that experience to just be so hands-off. So that's where the technology and the position, print is a commodity, but it's really not. And that's where people, I think, have a misconception, because everybody wants the cheap price. Everyone just wants to get, you know, their message across in the most cost-effective way possible. But with that, you have the opportunity for things that you might not always see or appreciate, like high-definition printing. Like, for example, I had a customer say, oh, you guys have the best prices around, you have the best quality, and for whatever reason, a new person came in and decided that we were not the option anymore, and they wanted someone closer to where they lived and where they could operate out of. But they knew our quality and our pricing was second to none. So those areas exist and are noticed, and it's hard unless people actually see it or appreciate that to know, oh, I could have been getting this, but now I'm getting this side. So it's kind of a lot of education. Mm-hmm. People don't know what they're buying necessarily sometimes. And so sharing that with them, because we are a higher priced quality shop. So that is different. We're not the highest though. So in the mix, you know, we're the upper tier, but we're not the highest tier either. So that's kind of some of our mix, but you get great quality, great service, and we stand by our work. So those are things that you don't always get at other levels necessarily. You might not get a printer that cares and stands by their work or wants to make it right if there's something wrong, whereas we do. So there's a lot to that as well. So like, yeah, will robots maybe take it from the printing press to the cutting? Sure, that might be kind of cool, but someone still has to cut it, and there would still be mistakes at automating fully, which I'm excited about seeing that automation. I know it already is out there in a lot of ways for packing things up. You see a lot in the corrugated industry,
sure,
packaging, where they can take the lifts and put them right into boxes. So it's going to get there, but I think the human component still wins, and it will always win, because the last time I checked, I don't think you're going to become AI, right? I'm not coming to become an AI.
Yeah.
So
Hopefully not.
No. I mean, maybe AI adjacent, AI-powered tools at our fingertips,
yeah,
which, I mean, we do. We've got our cell phones. You know, those are an AI extension of us, it seems like, more and more. But so that's kind of where I see things headed, really.
Yeah, you know, I don't know exactly where AI will eventually take us, right? But the way I see the technology being most helpful is when it can take routine things off your plate or make them simpler or faster. But the creative component about what you do or something that requires judgment, I don't think you can delegate that to a computer all the time.
No, you're absolutely correct. You have to have some more prompting to it. You have to have the human side of that, because it can give you a list and it's a good starting point. It's just not your end-all, be-all. And my AI journey has only been probably a year and a half now, maybe close to 2 years of from not knowing what it even was, not trusting it, to now figuring out how I can utilize it and generate images. I can ask it to do research for me. And I think that's where it really shines in this space, is some of the research it can provide. So it can help out with, you know, giving ideas or understanding maybe a target market or a vertical better. And so from there, you can then pick and choose and formulate from there. I use it for my LinkedIn videos sometimes to get inspiration or a hot take, figure out some controversial hot takes out there and then try to post about it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a great start. It's not an end. I don't think it ever will be, but there are ways to use it. And I just tell people, just try it. Figure out how to use it. Use it like Google. learn it. You're only as good as what you put into it. So your prompting is huge. And once you learn some of the prompting, you can get different results from that. But you have to learn it.
And like any new technology, you need to be careful with it. But you've obviously got that under control because you've got the human element as part of the process.
Yeah. And I don't want to take anything just at face value with it. I want to make sure I do my homework and my due diligence with how that plays out.
For sure.
We'll see how that works with MIS systems and all of that for Envision 3. I think just knowing what's out there and being willing to try it is a great thing. The company's always been a company of innovation and trying new things, whether it was with Fujifilm, with Co-Ray screening back in the day. We were their beta test site for that. Their headquarters is right up the road from us, so we were trying things, doing things with their plates for them, and that was really a cool thing. We've done other UV coating techniques with matte varnishes and reticulated matte varnish and gloss UV. We've done liquid foil. We've done glitter UV. We've done a lot of different things over the years, and it's been cool to just play around with that stuff, which is just what it's all about, and that's what I love doing what I do because I can tell people the stories of, oh, we get to do this, or we have done this, or we tried this, and it didn't work so great. And that's okay, but we pivoted, and we made something better out of it, or realized that wasn't an endeavor that was worth pursuing anymore. So now we're better because we aren't pursuing that anymore.
I think part of the journey is the mistakes, or the, I don't want to call what you did a failure, but when things don't work out quite the way you've hoped, you've learned something in any event. And I think you become stronger as a result, no?
Absolutely. I mean, at one point, Envision 3 had a marketing division. And that was an area we thought would be great because of our university clientele and developing all the materials for that. But what we learned is our customers didn't really support that level. And they didn't have a need for that because our customers had that in-house. Or an essential component to their brand was keeping that to themselves. So it didn't really work like it was supposed to. So it's a great example of you can't always build it and they will come. You have to really understand your business and your mix of customers before doing that. And that's fine. You know, no worse for wear. We identified it quickly and were able to make moves to adjust. So in one sense, it was a failure and it was a miss, and that's okay. But like you said, I think as long as you learn and you grow and pivot, that's totally a win when it's even that way. So I even celebrate in sales, you know, celebrate the no's because you know you're that much closer to a yes.
Good way to put it, for sure.
I mean, it's just you have to get enough of them to then have someone that will say yes. They can't all be wins. And, you know, unfortunately, in our society, we want instant wins, and Amazon has really made it instant, right, to get goods and services quickly, and that's just not possible in print. Like, we try. Everyone tries and, you know, does a day, one-day turn or two-day turns on things, but, you know, this is a craft. People have to make this, and they have to, it has to go through all the channels. So there's a lot to it that, again, that education component of saying, hey, this takes some time to do. And you don't want it to be done in one day. You really don't. Like, if you're actually, like, if you're buying a car, would you want it to be assembled in one day? Mm. I mean, you wouldn't want that. Right. I don't even care what level of car you're buying. You know, yeah. Either way, you want it to go through all the quality inspections, all the procedures and processes to give you this product.
Right.
But we treat print like it's just a throwaway and nothing when it actually is. It is essential in branding and is more important than you realize. And I keep talking about lately, printing is the one thing that has a leg up over digital, and that's the physical touch. So every time you have the physical touch side, that digital can never touch that, pun intended.
No, so, it's true. Yeah, it's the tactile sensation. It's the presentation of the product or the mailer. And I've talked about this on the podcast before with some guests, the staying power of direct mail or a mailed piece is far greater than anything digital, and it's going to stay around your house for a long period of time. And
17 times longer, they say, than a digital ad.
Yeah.
And you have a memory recall with it, 70% more trust factor with it. You have a 90%+ open rate to direct mail,
right.
And you get up to 25% response rate. Like, I don't know why people don't use it more. And I know, right? I am a print guy, so I'm biased. But really, I studied marketing, and I believe in an omni-channel strategy to really boost that engagement with your people. And now, the cool thing about technology is you can put QR codes, augmented reality, right on your piece, and you allow someone to go into another dimension of your marketing journey and your branding story and your company just through a QR code. So having the right incentives to the right audience really helps that. Sylvamo does that great. They have a kid's storybook. You should check it out online. I've been posting on my LinkedIn about it. But they have a whole sample store, and they have 4 kids books that you can order with QR codes on the kids storybooks that takes the story and then at certain points guides you to an animation of that story coming to life.
Oh, wow.
So it's a great representation of what's possible. I love how they do it with a kids book, but you can take that into any area. You could take that into luxury boating. You could take that to ski equipment. You could take that to universities and what's happening on campus. I mean, can you imagine sending to a prospective student a mailer that's got a QR code that then that pops up and says, oh, hey, check out what it's like on our quad. It brings that person sitting halfway across the country into your university quad with a simple scan of their phone, which they probably have attached to them. Mm-hmm. And all you had to spend was, what, 90 cents to get it to them, print plus postage? Postage being, you know, the 70
the
cents of that.
Exactly, I was going to say.
So, I mean, like, it's not hard to do. You just have to be creative in how you do it. And I'm not saying do it to everyone. Do it to your right targeted data and who you know might be the most receptive to that message. And you've got a winning strategy.
Yeah, to your point about universities as a great example, you know, the kids that are coming out of high school at 17 and 18 years old are really excited to get a mail piece.
They haven't before, right?
Yeah.
So to see their name on it, I mean, there's some ownership there.
I think so. You know, it's impressive, especially when you get the acceptance with the folder and the big envelope and your name is on it. Yeah, there's a digital component too, but even kids enjoy it. You know?
Well, and I would say, and they've talked about this, but it's an undisrupted channel. And I would say every year or every amount of time in the future here, we keep going. Humans are only getting better at ignoring ads.
Mm-hmm.
Only getting better. I mean, you look at it in your subscription set, right? Your music doesn't have ads if you pay for it. Your Netflix doesn't have ads if you pay enough. Now, I watch the ads. I think it's kind of fun to watch them from a marketing standpoint. And it gives me and my wife a chance to talk for a second in between. So call me old school like that, whatever, or cheap. I don't care. But, you know, it's a good thing. But you have to be aware that the audience is not seeing messages. They're not seeing emails. They're not looking at banner ads. They're focused on what they're trying to do. Chances are they've got a lot going on. You know, this isn't just, we're not talking about university. We're talking about any person
right.
in the world
right.
at this point experiencing an ad space. And so if you get them in the right spot, I put an analogy out there. I said, what if you knew your target market was going, you know, driving through a stoplight at a certain intersection every day, and your target market was just going through there, wouldn't you not try to capitalize on that intersection in some way to advertise to them? If you knew they were going to be there, the chances are great of them seeing that ad or whatever. And so I think that works with this direct mail, is you get that unfiltered access to people via
right.
that method. And yes, it is expensive, so I understand that. And I treat direct mail like it's my own money. So that's a lot to put up sometimes for these campaigns. I get it. But your ROI on these things are 44%.
Huge.
I mean, it's a big takeaway. So yes, you have to do it right. But when done right, I mean, you won't look back. You'll do it like this every time.
Yeah.
It's just a matter of what you're going to do. And that's where I can have fun with people and say, oh, you could try this fold out that would be a little different, but it's not going to cost you more.
Mm-hmm.
My production background allows, because I was in production for a couple years, I could say, oh, here, we could run this efficiently. I could, you know, work and turn this, and it fits well on a 2538 sheet. Let's go do this. It's unique enough, but it's not anything crazy from a print perspective, and yet you know, your buyers will have fun opening it, and your messaging could reflect how those folds come out.
Right.
So those are the cool things that when people have the time and want to hear those ideas that I have, it's just a really fun collaboration then.
But you're also using tools like a new website, and I know you've got a fulfillment platform as well, that are sort of making it easier for customers, going back to providing that streamlined and seamless solution. So you could talk a little bit about what you're doing there, I think, to bring your technology status, if you will, up to your next level.
Yeah, no, it's been a great process. I've been heading up the website rebuild with a company called Purple Pig Marketing. They're in the Chicagoland area, and they do great work. They actually specialize in websites and direct mail and engagement, so they help a lot of people drive traffic to sites. So for us, our website, I mean, hopefully it'll drive more traffic through that. We just want a space where we can showcase what we do. We can have a fresh look at it, innovative. You know, those are things that we do. So even starting from the website at the beginning of someone's journey with us, they have to validate us. They have to make sure that we're a valid player in the industry. You know, we are. For 25 years, we've been in the top 300 printing impressions list. We've since in the last few years bumped up into the 170s range now, so we're ranking up in those levels. Obviously, we're not trying to be number one. We can't be up at those levels, at least not anytime soon. Maybe if something pops,
but don't count it out.
Right? Yeah, but we're we're just pushing through that stuff. So that's our first step. But then as we continue to be more digital and move in some of those channels, then our fulfillment side is getting orders in from a website. We build websites for e-commerce stuff. So we have online storefronts for ordering collateral. Works good with like chiropractic franchises, with healthcare facilities, hospitals, doctor's offices, even just entertainment sectors, a travel industry, that kind of stuff. We have a site we build, so they have all their products that we make, and we store them, and then we ship them out every day for people. So we're always getting orders in, always packing things, doing different things for people, putting them into a mailing. So some of these jobs are big enough to go into their own mailing, like into a poly bag with a carrier sheet. So we'll do that on 100 pieces per order potentially, or we're doing hundreds of thousands. It all depends on what customers do and have, and so it's a fun area on the fulfillment side because we're just meeting people's needs. They're doing this stuff in their back rooms with some supplies and things, and they're doing it, but it's getting hard. They're getting taxed on it. It's just really
There's
pulling
better
the
ways
team
to spend their time, quite frankly. You focus on what you're good at, and they can focus on what
exactly
what at.
Sometimes it's the marketing team doing it. It's like, no, they need to be doing the marketing initiatives for the company. Let us handle that. So there's that tipping point where it makes sense that we come in and say, okay, we can do this here, allow our team to put it on our skid spots. We've got like over 2500 skid spots in our Batavia facility. And we'll get more racking if we want to do more, but it's probably 60% racked. So we got another 40% we can rack up in that space of about 66,000 square feet down there of space. So it's just trying to solve people's problems, and the fewer touch points that they can have with vendors and the more that we can provide them the information without them having to ask it is really what makes it great. Because more and more people are doing dual roles, or even more than that sometimes, in their companies, and they don't have time to keep checking on this stuff. They don't have time to deal with the problems that might happen with, say, return shipments or with quality defects or print reruns. They don't have time for that. So we try to take all that away, do our excellent work, do it quickly, let people know. So they get to a place where they go, okay, cool, I can order this. I'm only going to take this amount of time. Envision's got it. They've got a great track record, and I can be off doing something else. So that's what we love to hear. And that's why people come back.
That's part of the solution after all, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Well, speaking of solutions, I was impressed by some of the packaging work that you're doing out there too. So talk a little bit about how you're helping customers on the packaging side.
Yeah, packaging's fun. As anyone in this industry knows, there is a lot of packaging being done. Envision 3 has done packaging for all 25 years. It's just been done through other vendor partners before, but really came in a big way in 2014 when we acquired a packaging company. And so that brought us into a whole nother level of dyes and expertise and actually doing that work in-house. So we do auto bottom boxes, reverse tuck, straight tuck cartons, four-corner boxes, six-corner boxes, key card sleeves, pocket folders, paperboard binders, pretty much anything with dimension and paperboard stock we do. From anything from, you know, 7-point up to 24-point board is what we primarily run. So we've got a die cutter, an Eterna die cutter, 29 by 41 inches, and then we've got a folder gluer as well with glue head, barcode detection, barcode reader. We've got all that. We do line clearances. We work in pharmaceutical as well. Mm-hmm. So it's really cool to see that side because sometimes it's just someone has a need. They send me the die line, and we proof it, print it, and go. Sometimes it's, I have this cool product, and I want to do a 4-pack of it, and I want it to sit on a shelf only during the holidays. And I want foil stamping, and I want embossing and all that. And so we handle all that for them as well. And they're like, oh, and can you pack it for us? And can you do that?
That's where the fulfillment side comes in, right?
Yep. Yeah. So, okay, can you give, here's the spray bottles that we need packed. It's 4 of them to a carton, so 60,000 inners plus 15,000 outers. Can you pack that, and can you have it done in 2 weeks or less? And we say, yeah, from start to finish, all of it. So there's a lot of staff that comes in, a lot of labor that goes into doing that and doing it well, because within that there's version sets and making sure you get that accurate. So it's just, it's a really cool side. I personally love it because packaging is dimensional, and you don't see some of the potential problems until you make it. You really don't. You could see it flat on a piece of paper and go, oh, that's a box, but you don't realize the color that wraps around a score wrong until you build it, or you don't realize how a flap might work with a dust flap when you're tucking it in, and how it might not lock quite right if you don't have the right design tools. So there's some definite pitfalls. Not every printer has those tools available to make that right. And fortunately, we've had that and that expertise to kind of really safeguard ourselves and the customer from doing something that would not work. Because that would be, I mean, that's the worst of it. You get an auto bottom box that doesn't quite open or opens on an angle. I mean, that's kind of some of the worst stuff, and that can happen if you don't have the right engineering and tooling in place. So that's just, I have that engineering mindset, so for me it's just fun to kind of build that. And you don't want to see me at a store because I'm looking at all the boxes.
And critiquing them all.
Too, right? Well, and learning. I'm learning a lot. I'm like, oh, that's a really cool idea. I should use that or all of that. So my wife makes fun of me. She's like, you're doing that again? I'm like, this is our livelihood. So yeah, I'm going to keep doing that and look at the embossing, the spot UVs.
Are you trying to convince her not to take you shopping? Is that what you're doing?
Maybe. Yeah. Subconsciously. I'm trying not to be there. So
that's funny.
I love it. It's a fun time.
Well, speaking of you and your wife, and by the way, thank you for the great introduction to what Envision does. But I didn't want to forget to talk a little bit about the personal side. And when you mentioned your wife, you reminded me about the really nice and helpful volunteer work that you guys do, which I'd love for you to share. I think it really personalizes kind of who you are and who the company is.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're really big on finances, and we lead a financial piece. My wife supports me in it. She doesn't actually lead that, but we're Christ followers, and so we do Financial Peace University, and I lead a table to help people get out of debt. And I love meeting with people, hearing about their financial journeys and how to help them with that. I don't have a financial background, but just being in business and loving spreadsheets as much as I do. I pretty much just see myself as a personal trainer trying to help people achieve their goals. And based on a Dave Ramsey program, which is what I use, I like to help them through the steps of it's a 7-step process. The course takes 9 weeks to complete. So I do that on Tuesday nights for 2 to 3 hours, depending on how long we talk. So you watch a video and then you talk about some of the strategies and do an activity is kind of how the time works. So first half is video, second half is discussion and talking. And you get a wide range. I've been doing it for 3 years now. So you have, you know, people that are newlyweds and just starting out. You have people having kids that are in college or near end of college and trying to figure out what's next, and everything in between. So I love seeing and hearing where people are at and trying to move them to another, just another way and positive change with that. So it's really cool to be along with people in that part. You know, saving $1,000 is step one, doing a debt snowball on the second step, and then saving 3 to 6 months worth of expenses on the third step. So I've pretty much given you a majority of the course right there, but stay tuned. If you want more information on that, feel free to reach out. I'm just passionate because I know debt is a killer of many, just from stress and even marriages and just overall livelihood. And when you can solve that problem, your whole life changes. And for the best.
Well, when you talk about financial peace, there's also that personal peace, I think, that comes from, you know, that feeling like you're free.
Yeah, you really are. It's true. And I know some people think, you know, it's not about, you know, you got to use cash only. That's some of the stuff that people have problems with. I just encourage people to look at it more holistically and comprehensively in knowing what and why that methodology is teached in that regard, because that's not how, it's not forever. It's not supposed to be a hindrance. It's supposed to give you the most. And the whole point of it is, well, if you don't like it, you can go back to your ways later. Just give this a try and see what happens. Mm-hmm. Because when you really get to a place of that freedom and living, like, the budget is not supposed to restrict you. I don't like even using the word budget because it's, to me, I don't even budget. I track my money. And so me and my wife to this day, we have a spreadsheet and we use paper receipts and I record them in a spreadsheet. So, I mean, that's like what we do. Do we have to? No. But out of principle and how we do things, that's what we think is important. So I'm still living by those things that I'm helping people with. And when they do that, the amount that they can live and then give is amazing. Because this is really, it's not about just getting out of debt and all that. That's great. But it's really so we can be really generous people. And that's basically what Jesus did for us. And that's what I believe as a Christ follower is he gave us the greatest gift of all. And so by doing this course and all of this, we're just giving generously to what we've freely been given as well. So just trying to live in that as well. And those are my busiest days when I have financial peace. But I come home and I'm the most energized with it. So I'm like, I guess that's a good thing. I guess it means I'm where I'm supposed to be and I'm doing something that I'm passionate about. So
that's how many people do you think you've helped over those 3 years?
Yeah, over that time, at least probably 50 or 60 people.
That's amazing.
And I also do one-on-one coaching. Mm-hmm. So I take those same kind of principles and anyone that comes in. So there's some people that need help for a quick season. Some people need it for a longer season. And we just kind of go through some of those steps together.
So I'd love to hear about the giving back, especially. So
yeah, we're big.
You're helping people, yeah.
We like to do that, and I mean that's what's so great about working here is I get to do that. You know, I'm doing the print side. I get to do that day in and day out here, but it's really about helping other people. So what I do here is just helping others. I'm passionate about Nicaragua, so I help kids in Nicaragua. So they can get a meal every day and they can get taught a vocation to then go work to then feed their families one day. So by giving them money for a meal, gets them the ability to get healthy, stay healthy, learn about then vocation, and then, you know, it just goes from there. So trying to break that poverty cycle. Mm-hmm. And who knew just from doing some print work that that's what would what would happen. But loving it, loving life, and just learning a ton through all this.
Well, that's a great way to end, and both on the personal side and on the business side. So thank you for a great conversation today.
Yeah, thank you.
Just talk about where people can find out more information about Envision.
Yeah, so check
us. Excuse me, Envision 3.
Yeah, check us out at envision-3.com. Check me out on LinkedIn as well. That's where I post a lot of humorous and fun tips and tricks. So those are probably the primary ways to kind of get some things. I try to make it easy for people to see those different pitfalls or just insights into print, packaging, and direct mail. So that's where you'll find us.
Fantastic. Well, you're a great spokesperson for Envision 3, so thanks, Brian.
Thank you.
This has been Brian Franz, who's the Vice President here at Envision 3 in Bloomingdale, Illinois. And I'm Chris Santamassimo from the Think Factory Podcast and OGC Solutions. We'll see you next time.